Blue Jays broadcaster here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Mike Wilner. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Oh, tired, but I'm okay.
I'll tell you what, I was listening to you yesterday. You did a really good job, you know, and I'll give you some credit because after a big loss, you never sound like it gets to you, even though I know you like the team and I know you call the games, but you do a great job of being impartial, and I thought you did a specifically good job of doing that last night and leading people to the reasons as to why the Toronto Blue Jays lost this series.
Well, thanks. You know, it was tough last night, but I think once it got down 3-0, it was going to be nearly impossible for them to come back and win the series. And I know that, there are a lot of people have felt after that Game 4 win that the series was tilting in the Blue Jays' favor. And it still had to go perfectly, but it didn't. And it's too bad because, you know, when you play a 5-game series in the playoffs and you allow 12 runs, it's almost impossible to fathom that you're going to lose. But that's what happened in Cleveland. You know, I've said it a million times that playoffs, it's not about which team is better. It's about which team is hotter. And I don't know that the Blue Jays are necessarily that much better than the Indians. And the season shows that they were pretty even. But there's no question that Cleveland was the hotter team. They just completely shut the Blue Jays down.
You know, go ahead.
They deserve it.
Yeah, they do. And by and large, because of, their starting rotation as piecemeal as it was, you know, what makes their story, and if you love baseball, you get this part of it. What makes this story even more incredible is that, you know, they lose Salazar, they lose Carrasco, arguably they're 2 and 3, some would say 1 and 2 best pitchers during the season. So you got one ace going into a playoff, and everybody wants a piece of the Indians during the playoffs. Boston would say, hey, we're happy to get the Indians because they're down two really, really good pitchers and two huge pieces in their rotation. They're both injured. And they get swept. And then, you know, it's Toronto and Cleveland in the ALCS. And we all said the same thing, you know, by the numbers, by this rotation and what they have going in their rotation, this should be Toronto's series. And you know what the difference was in the series was the starting pitching for Cleveland. You know, and that's what makes the story so incredible if you're a Cleveland Indians fan.
100% true. It's the old be careful what you wish for thing, right? I mean, we were talking towards the end of the season that Boston wasn't interested in first overall in the league because they wanted to play Cleveland, because why wouldn't you? No Salazar, no Carrasco, and as it turned out, no Trevor Bauer either for the Blue Jays because he left with the injury drone thing after two outs. But it was absolutely the starting pitching for Cleveland because we talk so much about the bullpen. The Blue Jays bullpen didn't give up a run in the series, and I think the Jays bullpen going into last night had an ERA of 0.7 for the playoffs and had another 3 shutout innings yesterday. But the reason that the Blue Jays lost this series is because the Indians were able to use their great bullpen because the Blue Jays never had the lead. The starting pitching for Cleveland never allowed the Blue Jays to take a lead in any game except for Game 4. And the Blue Jays pitching was phenomenal as well. Again, I said 12 runs allowed in the whole series, but you allow 12 runs in 5 games and your team only has the lead in one game. That's an incredible credit to Corey Kluber, Josh Tomlin, everybody, and Ryan Merritt.
Mike, obviously now because the offense was completely shut down, you look towards the offseason and the questions surrounding Edwin and Jose, and the free agent class is very, very thin. Do you see the Blue Jays potentially trading some arms for some bats this offseason?
It's possible. I don't know about some arms, maybe one arm.
Marcus Stroman?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, Happ and Estrada are on the wrong side of 30. They're not going to bring you back a ton. Francisco Liriano is not going to bring you back anything in trade, even though he had a terrific August and September for the Blue Jays. So that leaves you Stroman and Sanchez. And Aaron Sanchez won the American League ERA title. Marcus Stroman didn't. So if you're going to trade one of them, I think it may well be Stroman. I don't know. It's he's not a guy I would want to trade. He's someone you want to have as part of your rotation. I think Stroman is going to be a terrific major league pitcher. But if you had to flip a coin between the two of them, who do you want to move? People are still lamenting the trade of Noah Syndergaard, and Aaron Sanchez and Noah Syndergaard are very close. You know, these guys are these typical classic aces. I think Stroman might be a guy that they dangle and see what you can bring back. And not to say, you know, we want to trade Marcus Stroman, but to say we've got potentially four big holes to fill offensively, and this is someone who can help us fill two of them.
I know, Mike, a lot's been made about his height because he's only 5'8", but when you look at the history of the game, guys his height don't have long, you know, great careers as starting pitchers. Is that something you can take into consideration to go, you know what, maybe now is the time to sell high if you can on Marcus Stroman after kind of a down season compared to last year? But is that something you think the Blue Jays are considering? Because guys his height generally don't have great careers as starters.
Except when they do, you know, like someone like Tim Hudson, who had a great career as a starter and who was probably 5'9", maybe. But I think that if you're looking to move a guy because of a perceived flaw, the 29 other teams are very aware of that same thing. So, if you think you've got a reason to get rid of somebody, everybody else is aware of that reason. And so it's going to cut down his market value. But I don't think Marcus Stroman, I'm not worried about Marcus Stroman at 5'8", having a career as a major league starting pitcher. He's got a phenomenal repertoire and very good command of it. And in, I don't know quite how to measure it, but basically 2 full years as a starter, when you consider everything that he's done, he's had 1 bad month. So, I don't think that's a reason that you're afraid that he's not going to be able to be good for you. I think the reason that you talk about trading him or anyone is because you need help, and you can fill holes by making a move.
So what holes need to be filled then, Mike?
Left field, right field, first base, DH. I mean, depending on how things go, it sounds like a lot, but the truth of the matter is you bring back the league's best starting rotation fully intact. R.A. Dickey goes, but Liriano steps in. You've still got Martin and Travis and Tulowitzki and Donaldson and Pilar, those are your four holes. And depending on what happens with Bautista and Edwin, with Saunders, you fill them. It's not a great free agent class, it's true, but those are your pieces that you need. And probably, you know, Brett Cecil is probably going to leave. A lefty in the bullpen would be good. Another righty in the bullpen would be good, but I have a lot of faith in Ryan Tepera and Bo Schelts both stepping up and becoming good major league relief pitchers. The bullpen needs to be addressed as well, but really it's those four holes on offense.
Edwin yesterday, apparently emotional, did say through a translator Toronto is his first choice in free agency, and Toronto really is now on the same footing as every other team in baseball, vying for maybe the most sought-after free agent bat on the market this year, being a terrible free agent year, and knowing what he did, he is going to garner a lot of attention, and there's not one team that contends that doesn't want a guy that drives in 120-plus runs and hits 40-plus home runs nearly year after year in that lineup and still producing at the age of 33. Jose being a different story, Mike, having a terrible free agent year. Yesterday he said, hey, listen, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm not in the frame of mind. And that was it. So is that it for Jose in the city of Toronto? And if so, what do you think happens with him in qualifying? And then when it comes to Edwin, do you think he stands a better chance to return, and under what circumstances?
I wonder, I think Edwin stands a better chance to return than Jose does. Because Edwin has said Toronto is his first choice, and I don't believe that that's true for Jose Bautista. I mean, I don't know that he has plans to go specifically somewhere else. But, you know, they're both going to get qualifying offers. There's no question about that. Even with the year that the finish that Bautista had, he still, when he was on the field, had a pretty good year. Batting average aside, everything else was very good. It's not as terrible a free agent class. You know, Mike Napoli is out there. Yoenis Cespedes will be out there more than likely. Mark Trumbo, who led the major leagues in home runs, is going to be out there on the free agent market. So it's not awful, but it's certainly not, you know, overwhelming with like 12 to 15 really, really good hitters out there. But I do think that Edwin really wants to stay. I think he loves it here. He's comfortable here. He wants to succeed here. And I think some team is just going to blow the Blue Jays out of the water with an offer. And unless he's willing to take less money and perhaps fewer years, he's gone. The rumor was that in spring training, the Blue Jays offered him a 2-year deal with two option years. He's absolutely going to get a 4-year guarantee on the market, and he may even get a 5-year guarantee. There are people talking that, you know, we might see Edwin get 5 years and $115 million. That happens, the Blue Jays will not match that. And unless he wants to stay for four or for 3+1, then he's going to go. But I think Edwin showed the new management quite a bit this year, playing 160 games and playing first base for the bulk of the second half of the season. I think they may be more inclined to go longer term now than they were going into this season, and I think that bodes well for the potential that he stay.
Why won't they match it, or why wouldn't they match it if that's what you believe? And B, what stops the Toronto Blue Jays for, you know, and Blair was talking about this the other day, and I thought it was smart, you know, saying, here, we're going to give you a bunch of money over 3 years. What you'd get from anybody else in four and five, we'll give you a whole bunch of money in 3 years. We understood this game to be what it was. Everybody came out this year. You know, the coffers are flush. Success is very important to not just this franchise, but the company that owns this franchise. And what the Blue Jays have done is touched all facets of that. So what prevents the Toronto Blue Jays from A, matching any ridiculous offer, or B, saying, we'll do that offer, but we'll do it in 3 years?
It's an interesting idea to give him like 3 years and $90 million instead of 5 years and 115, or, you know, maybe 4 and 80 would get the job done. And I think that was definitely the way Alex Anthopoulos thought. He always said, we'll give you the same money over fewer years, if that works. I don't know if Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins feel the same way. Maybe they do. But I think what stops the Blue Jays from making a ridiculous offer is, you know, just how you said it, because it would be ridiculous. And we've seen crazy long-term big money contracts given out in this game for the better part of 20 years now, and maybe two of them have worked. And maybe, you know, 90% of them the team regrets like 2 years in, and they're already trying to get out from under it. Edwin's going to be 34 years old, and paying a guy over $20 million into his age 38 season is generally never a good idea, and I think that's what would prevent them from making the ridiculous offer, because it would be a poor business decision, and you have to be aware of that stuff.
Mike, is there any chance that Jose takes the qualifying offer for around $17 million to re-up his value again to be a free agent next year?
I can't imagine that he does. I mean, there's
what a gamble will that be for him, though, Mike.
It would be a crazy gamble because, you know, he's going to be 36, yeah. Or he is 36, turned 36 yesterday. And so, you know, you're going to go out into the free agent market at 37, hoping to build on what you did. I mean, it's possible. I think Jose Bautista is too proud to do that. But it's certainly is possible. He may not get an offer that averages the same as the qualifying offer, but he's definitely going to get a multi-year offer for more overall dollars somewhere. So I can't imagine he takes a qualifying offer, but it's not completely outside the realm of possibility.
Do the Jays want him to take that qualifying offer?
They'd be thrilled to have him for a year at 17.
Okay. Because we were wondering that aloud. Would they like to move on from Jose Bautista? And you know what?
Whether they do or not, I mean, if you average out what he did this year, you prorate it over 162 games, it's like, I don't know, 30 homers and 98 RBIs and 95 runs scored and a 360 on base, you'll happily take that.
So then, Mike, what is it that you've seen in free agency, or what can you see for this team based on need? What names come to mind for you when it comes to this lineup, maybe getting a left-handed bat, filling a couple of positions, a couple of left-handed bats that hit for contact and for power? What do you see out there name-wise in free agency this year that would make sense for the Toronto Blue Jays?
You might think this is crazy because I kind of think this is crazy. But Adam Lind and Rajay Davis as a platoon I see out there. And I find to be very interesting as a platoon together. They were here. They did the job before. We know Lynn can hit righties. We know Rajay can hit lefties and can be a terrific pair of legs off the bench. I don't think the Blue Jays will go that way because of their age. I think that they want to get a lot younger. They want to get more athletic. They want to get faster, all that stuff. I kind of like the idea of taking a shot at a Gregor Blanco, but again, he's a guy on the wrong side of 30. I don't think we're going to see the Blue Jays pulling in many guys who are over 30. You look at how the Indians are constructed, and that's sort of your roadmap of what Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins want to do for the Blue Jays, and that is young, speedy, athletic, lots of switch hitters, all that kind of stuff. Now, you can only really do that in trade as opposed to doing that in free agency. But that's why I don't think they're necessarily going to go after the older guys. Pedro Alvarez is a very interesting guy for me. The Blue Jays weren't interested when he was sitting there as a free agent in February last year, but obviously that's because they had Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, and they may not this year. And even if one of them stays, Alvarez is a very interesting guy, swing built for Rogers Center. But again, he's the same sort of three true outcome, walk, strikeout, or home run, but a left-handed hitter and someone who is not yet 30 years old. So he's a potential replacement as well. But I don't think that you're going to find what Atkins and Shapiro are looking for in free agency, which is to get younger and to get more athletic and to bring in, to get less right-handed. I think that sort of stuff has to come in trade.
I don't disagree. Last question, and we got to make it fairly quick, Mike, and I really appreciate you taking as much time as you have with us this morning, especially after the night you had. John Gibbons, apparently Shai Davidi announcing that John Gibbons will be returning to honor the final year of his contract next year. Just your thoughts on that real quick.
I had managed a team to the American League Championship Series 2 years in a row. You'd have to be a fool to let him go. I know that he's kind of a polarizing figure in the city among the fans, but Shapiro and Atkins know what they have, and the Blue Jays know what they have. I think John Gibbons is a fantastic manager, and he's the right guy to be on top of this team, and he's a fantastic tactician, and I know people are upset that he didn't pinch run for Deion Navarro down 3-0, which he shouldn't have. But, you know, people get really, really angry at John Gibbons for a lot of things that are the right moves. And I think that for some reason there's a lot of people who don't want to like him. People don't like the way he talks and the way he walks out to the mound, which are fantastic reasons to not like the manager of your baseball team. But John Gibbons is a terrific manager, and John Gibbons deserves to be here really, as long as he wants to be here.
Yeah, and he gets out of the way, right? And, you know, I think that's his, maybe one of his greatest qualities. So, listen, appreciate you doing this, Mike. As always, great job this year, and I'm sure we'll talk to you sooner than later with all the stuff that has to go on. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy winter. Thanks a lot, guys.